Broadcasting live from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando, Florida, for HIMSS 19, it's This Just In. Now here's your host, HIT advisor Justin Barnes.
Thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate you sticking with us. There's about 30,000 people listening to us right now. So, Dr. Jethwani, true pleasure from Partners Healthcare, but also you're from the Partners Healthcare Pivot Labs. But you're always a tremendous guest, not only on the radio show, but with our think tank. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we'll actually, we start at 6:30 in the morning. I know it's going to be very early, but you'll be done by 8:30. So anyhow, but thank you very much for joining us today. So you always have a great perspective, very innovative. You always share phenomenal best practices in our think tank. But what to start off, what are some of the trends that you're seeing out there in healthcare and health IT that you want to talk about?
All right. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. It's always really fun to be here. It's a lot of like mental exercise. I'm always nervous about whether I'm going to be good enough for you or not.
Yeah, right.
So,
no.
Awesome. It's great. Healthcare and health IT. Let me start with the trend in healthcare, which everyone's seeing, but I kind of just want to like call it out, which is all of the interesting consolidations we're seeing outside, right? So, you know, CVS Aetna, the Amazon consolidation with Berkshire, like all of those really interesting partnerships and consolidations are I think, going to change the landscape for healthcare in the next 5 to 6 years, and I think that's worth watching. So every time in boardrooms also, I sort of bring it up for my executives and be like, you know, don't forget, you know, CVS Aetna is together now. What's that going to look like?
Right.
So that's one that I think we should always keep on our ante if we aren't already. The second trend, I think, again, sticking to healthcare, not health IT as much, is the trend for consumerism. So speaking from a provider organization standpoint, we are actually seeing our patients demand of us that we actually move into the 21st century finally. And they ask us questions around, you know, if I can book a restaurant table on OpenTable, why can't I just book, why do I have to be on the phone for 27 minutes to book an appointment? And then why is the appointment 4 weeks later?
Right? Yes, good point.
So that's a trend, and that's growing, and actually that pain is being felt more and more every single day as a provider. And then in terms of health IT, a trend that I'm seeing a lot, and literally probably get a phone call from a community hospital every week on this, and it's the buzzword of the year, which is AI.
Yes.
So how can hospitals make better use of all of this and money that they've invested in EMRs to make sense out of the data and to be intelligent about it? And that's a trend that I'm seeing. Now, whether that's a bubble or not, I'm not sure. The jury's still out. But that's definitely a trend of like it's catching everyone's fascination, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in 3 to 5 years with that.
So talk about some of the best practices on navigating those. So what are, say, two or three best practices for people to successfully navigate those trends?
So starting with AI, I think a lot of people are very quick to jump into using AI for clinical decision making and clinical programs. I think it's a miss. I think that there's probably lower hanging opportunity in the operational side of healthcare with AI.
Yes.
And not a lot of people are focusing on that, but the data is a little bit cleaner. The mistakes are less expensive.
Right.
Right.
Very
and
true.
The stakeholders are a little bit more involved, you know. Being able to save the time of a front desk person in, you know, bringing her down from 30 minutes to 10 minutes in, you know, booking an appointment is actually a great savings that no one's really focused on. And so I think the more people think about focusing on operational versus clinical, I think that'll be really interesting. The second area I think that's really interesting in AI is imaging. There's more evidence out there for imaging-based AI programs than like clinical EMR-based AI programs. And then speaking as a physician, you know, we entered this data into the medical records, and like I know how dirty that data is, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm scared when people tell me that they're going to make intelligent decisions based on that data.
That data, right.
So I feel like there needs to be like a mass cleanup project where like we all need to come in together and like decide that we're going to like use this data a little bit more. We're going to input this data more thoughtfully. But till then, I think that that's a very high bar to climb. And organizations are spending way too much money on trying to climb that. And I think that they're missing out on key opportunities.
No, that's fantastic. Spend a second on you shared in the last think tank, you shared some great stats around a research study that you did on virtual care. On basically, you put it out there to your population, said, would you like to access your If a doctor had access to your medical records, if they did not have access to medical records, this is all through virtual care. Talk about that for a moment, if you would, if you have some of those stats off the top of your head. I didn't tell you to talk about that, but that was very impactful to me. I talk about that now probably on a weekly basis in different speeches and all that.
Yeah, so this is a
And I give you the credit. It's amazing.
No, thank you. This is a marketing survey that we had done 10 years apart in 2005, 2015. And in 2005, we asked people sort of, you know, what is the most important thing for you as you're considering how to pick your PCP? And, you know, an overwhelming majority of people, or close to 80% people, said that brand is one of the most important things. That they want their physician to be a really good physician, right? Mm-hmm. Really well-trained, coming from a credible school, et cetera. We repeated the survey in 2015, and only about 43% people said brand. A bigger number of people actually said convenience. And so at Harvard, we're looking at ourselves and we're like, we have 13 Harvard-affiliated hospitals, and now people don't care about brand? What are we going to do, right? And so if convenience is now becoming a bigger issue, then we need to really change our business model and really be able to figure out how do we compete on convenience? Because guess what? CVS MinuteClinic is way more convenient than any of our organizations,
True.
So how do we get there? And I think that's where we really see the opportunity in digital. And it's not an opportunity anymore. It's a mandate.
Yep. It's awesome. No, I think that's a big thing. So how are you guys, what changes have you made to promote convenience over brand and...
We're doing a number of things. And, you know, I think a lot of other organizations, and I give credit to a lot of other organizations who've spearheaded in the space much more. Last year, we launched our first virtual urgent care, right? So right now, any patient who is insured by our payer organization, Always Health Partners, has the ability to seek urgent care via virtual means. So it's all video and phone enabled. That's now currently covering about over 200,000 lives. So that's a big initiative that was launched in June. We are also trying to once this is successful, we're going to roll it out to every single patient and partners. So that's going to be one thing. We're launching several AI-based programs specifically on the operational efficiency side. We're thinking about how to make better decisions about when to discharge people. We're making better decisions around how to treat them once they're discharged. We're making better decisions based on whether they're a high risk for coming back within 30 days or not. We're also trying to do other operational efficiency gains in terms of better referrals, right? When should a PCP refer a patient to a specialist? Can we use AI to start informing some of those things? And then also using digital wearables to be able to predict when someone's disease is going to get bad. So if I can give you a Fitbit as a COPD patient, and I can watch your Fitbit data and predict a week before you become really sick that you're going to get sick, right? Now that's a game changer, because
yes,
then
is.
I can intervene and I can prevent a 2 to 3 day rehospitalization, which is really expensive.
That's fantastic. I love it. So now, thinking beyond today, we spend a lot of time here at HIMSS. We're seeing what's here now and what's coming in 2019, 2020. But thinking about 2022, what do we need to be looking at on the horizon to be able to thrive in the future or be ready for where we're going? What do you think?
I think the business models that will exist in 2022 don't exist today.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a vendor, you probably want to think beyond the business models or the constraints of the business models that you're trying to cater to today. You know, when your pharmacy becomes your insurer,
right,
a lot is up for grabs. You know, just think about that. So
yeah.
I always encourage companies to sort of figure out a way to do the right thing. And don't be constrained with the business models that exist today. It's going to change. That's one thing. The second thing I would say is, in terms of trends coming up, there is a big opportunity in zero interface interventions, right? Mm-hmm. So voice,
yeah,
is becoming a big thing. And I have mixed feelings about it personally, but I think there's an opportunity there. I think there's a pretty big market that's going to open up once voice is figured out,
right.
and Amazon is going to figure it out. We're not going to figure it out.
Right.
And then from a clinical delivery system perspective, in 3 to 5 years, I think we need to be prepared to give up the routine things that we see our patients for. I don't think provider organizations are going to be in that business anymore. I think we need to specialize and we need to be able to provide chronic complex care that others cannot provide. And I think that's just going to happen.
Yeah, the last 2 points, actually all those I agree with. But I'm on the last point, I'm a chairman of a health organization in Georgia that actually has already moved well in that direction. So we deploy a very vast amount of DPC doctors. They practice on the top of their license. And so now the only thing we send to a specialist is a complex case, because our doctors can handle a significant majority of the case, 90% of care, but you need surgery or you need a knee replaced. Those are all the things. And I have full transparency, and I'll talk about this a little bit in the think tank tomorrow, is we already know that knee is going to cost $4,200. Not $12,000, but $4,200. Our colonoscopy is $1,250. And we publish our prices. And that's a game changer in a lot of ways, from where, how people are practicing, how patients are flowing, where they're going for care, but we have better outcomes.
And I mean, I think the key philosophy for us in our organization is right patient, right time, right place.
Yes.
So if you're a patient that can be seen in a community hospital, you should not be seen at an academic medical center. If you're a person that needs to be seen today,
yes,
you should not be seen tomorrow, right?
Correct.
And so how do we get to see you in the right place at the right time with the right, you know, expertise, and how do we strive towards that using digital as an enabler?
Yep. And I think the last part you brought up on the voice side, I'm very bullish on it. I agree Apple will solve some of those, certainly the bigger complex pieces. But I do believe, as we came up in the think tank, voice first, but not voice only. And I think,
correct.
Yeah, I think really with the consumerism, patient engagement, patient education, I think my own example, I did have a colonoscopy a couple years ago. I don't remember a darn thing that gastro doctor told me after, because I was still coming out from the drugs. And I couldn't believe it. But he rattled off all these great notes. Phenomenal doctor. Thankfully, everything was good, so I didn't have to remember anything. Yeah. But what happens if it wasn't great? And he gave me this advice. You got to do this in this treatment protocol, and I don't remember a word you said. Yeah. I can barely remember his face. And so, I mean, I was still under, you know, my anesthesia. So, anyhow, I do see, and I think of Louise, and if you remember from the think tank, Dr. Jack is doing actually in your backyard up there in Boston.
We had a really interesting experiment. This was several years ago, more than 10 years ago, where we used avatar technology for discharge planning. And so we did a control trial where half the group got a real nurse to do discharge planning and the other half got an avatar on a screen. And statistically significant improvements in retention with the avatar. Not with the nurse. And so when you ask the patients why that's the case, they're like, oh, because I was able to rewind her four times. Right. But I can't ask a real person to like repeat something four times. I'm embarrassed, right?
Correct. That's a point.
So
it's like a logical point right there.
We can get better outcomes with, you know, so it's yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Kamal. I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
Dr. Jethwani.
Thank you for having me.
Truly appreciate it, my friend. Yeah, we'll see you in the morning, bright and early.
Thanks.
Thank you, brother.